Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So what is your earliest golfing memory?
My earliest golfing memory would be, actually I won an under 14s competition in Scotland as a 6-year-old. Yeah, as a 6-year-old, I was at North Berwick, and it was on the which on this little course, it's still there apparently. I'm desperate to take Di there with the kids, but she keeps putting it off because she's so in love with St. Andrews. And it's got this beautiful little par 3 course. Like, it's a children's course, really, outside the back of the hotel, which is attached to a very famous course in North Berwick. But I won. But they didn't give me the trophy. So we went to the prize giving, and of course, there's all the age groups all the way through, and I was right, the youngest, obviously. And then the mate, all the older lads, so the under 15 level, whatever, under 14s it was, and under 14 was the top level. The score was called out for the lad who won, and it was worse than my score. But they obviously just hadn't looked down through it, because there's no way a 6-year-old's going to be in the running, right, to win. So it was in the paper, and my dad still got the clip in at home, and they made me a trophy. It was called the Affleck Cup. I got it, 1988, I won that. So that was my earliest, and I remember that because I remember the golf course. I don't remember winning the competition particularly, but I remember the golf course, and I've got all the pictures of it. But all my golfing memories at the start were from pretty much from Scotland. My whole family played. My dad got into it because he was in the motor trade. And, you know, we've got a very humble backgrounds from Liverpool and Wales for my mum. But my dad, when he started doing well for himself in the motor trade, he realised that loads of business was getting done through golf, and he was missing out. So I better learn how to play this game. And, you know, he might have found a golf club somewhere, and he got into it, and his love for it grew from there, and he's played his whole life, and hence we all have since as well.
And so what, you just followed in his footsteps, but you obviously had a natural ability as well.
Bootle Municipal was the golf course I learned at, which is... I can't be wary of saying this because I think I wear it like a badge of honour that this, but it's you used to have to hook the strap of your golf bag around your leg when you were hitting a shot because it might get nicked. Like, if you weren't from the area and you weren't used to it, I mean, it's probably changed a lot now, but when I was a little boy and dad would take me there and he'd play and I'd just follow around with the club. People, you could tell people who weren't from the area who hadn't played there, because they go and leave their clubs on the next tee and then walk to the green to putt, and there's no way they were getting back there in time before someone would come out of the bushes, clubs off in the car down the back road. Yeah. It was great. But it was brilliant, and I used to love it. And I always remember hot oxtail soups as a kid there on a Saturday and Sunday with my dad. You'd turn up at 6:30 in the summertime on a Saturday morning, it'd be packed. They all be keen because they love the golf, and cheap and cheerful, and that's where I learnt the game, on Bootle Municipal, and it was great. And we lived there. I was born on Bailey Drive, which is right by the golf course there. And you know, the only reason we left Liverpool was for me, because when I was 11 years old and going to go to secondary school, I don't really remember this. Dad made it his vision that's what I was going to be. I was going to be a golfer. I mean, at 11, you don't know that, do you? I was thinking about transport.
Well, he decided at that point that you were already going to be.
I think he thought I was good. Yeah. I was clear because I beat everyone. So when I was 11 years old, I was already playing off about 8 handicap, which is unheard of. Yeah, and because, I mean, 11 years old, you're a kid, aren't you? I mean, you're a little kid. But it would be funny because you go and play with people who play golf for a long time, and I'd beat them, right? And the only thing I was missing was age, maturity, size, and distance. So I couldn't reach, obviously. That's where the handicap was. Actually, my short game was really, really good. So we moved to Chorley so that I could live. We lived in the gate of Shore Hill Golf Club so that I could come home from school and go straight out onto the golf course to practice every day without needing anyone to drive me anywhere. So that's why we moved from Liverpool in the first place, which was a massive, quite a lot of pressure, actually. But I don't think at the time I really thought about it like that. But, I mean, they effectively moved everything they'd ever known to Chorley to live in a golf club for me so I could play every day. And my life as a kid, and this is why it's funny because I hear Di will talk about school and our schoolmates. And I haven't got that many old school friends. I have one really close one, a couple that I stay in touch with, but one really close one. Other than that, I don't stay in touch with any of them because my memory of school was I get up in the morning, go to the bus stop, bus to school, come back from school, change into my golf clothes, out onto the golf course with Dad until it went dark, whenever that was. Or if it was in the winter, to the driving range for 2 or 3 hours every night after school, come back, do my homework, eat my dinner, go to bed, rinse and repeat. Then on a Saturday and Sunday, I'd go and play competitions. And I was actually a member at Formby Golf Club. I actually got in there after we moved, left from the area, ironically. But that was my memory. So those days for me weren't all that amazing. I mean, the whole sort of, I had such a sheltered life through my school years. But it's arguably what had to happen. I didn't know any different. And Dad was really, really hard on me. We had a, it was a more of a business relationship than a father-son relationship. And a lot of it was ruled through fear. I was, and Dad was super hard on me. I admire it and also, to a degree, resent it, you know, because his vision, he wouldn't have liked that. And we've chatted about this since at different times, but he got no kicks out of saying no and that I couldn't have those things that other kids have because he thought all along, I will give you the thing that these kids will never get. You know, I'll give you the opportunity to have a lifestyle and have something that these other children won't get. Because if you do what is the norm, you will get the norm. And what you're trying to do is extraordinary. And of course, when you're 13 years old, I mean, I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm perving on Rachel and friends, aren't I? I mean, that's what I'm really thinking about at that age. I mean, that's where the happiness is. And I just remember it was a slog. It was a real slog. I didn't really love the game until I started making national teams. And I think that's really that I knew I had something a bit special when I started playing for my county. And I was playing for the men's team when I was 14 years old, and which is unusual. I'm playing for the England team when I'm 16 years old, which again is unusual for men's teams.
You know, is golf the sort of sport that you can just apply the outliers theory of 10,000 hours and get that good? Or did he see something very special in you as early as 5 or 6?
I don't know. I find it was such a weird, it's an interesting debate, the 10,000 hours one. I think it's necessary, but I think it also helps to have a combination of that with some innate talent and passion for a sport. I think if it comes from within, great sports people, the ones that, and you've spent time around loads as well as I have, they have that in common. There's something different about the way that they work. And ironically, sometimes when they're retired, they talk about it more openly because they sort of show that little bit that was different because they had that sort of, they operate in a different way, especially when it's under pressure. And I was always very good in that regard. I got the very most out of myself when I needed it the most until I lost all of that when later on in my career. But I think with my dad, he sort of taught me and had me believe that I was always going to be all right. And as much as he was so hard on me, I also felt like I was never, ever playing anyone that I wasn't going to beat. I really believed that whoever I played, I would beat. And all my wins on tour, ironically, were against players who I was supposed to lose to. So it was always big names. When I was the main name, I never did that well because I always felt uncomfortable. My expectations got my own way, whereas when I had someone to strive for, and it's that sort of, he's got something I want. I was really good in that situation.
Underdog.
I love being in the underdog. I was always very good in that situation. And I think a lot of that came from Dad and the way he taught me. And inevitably, he got me to, I put the hard yards in. I had a certain amount of talent as well that went with it. But something that always bothered him, it bothers me a little bit as well, is when people talk about, oh, he's just so gifted, it's such a frustrating, naive, and ignorant mentality for people to have towards sports people. They probably put more into that than you could ever imagine. Not you personally, I mean in general, people who aren't around those sorts of people all the time, you are. But you only see on TV when you watch sports people, you see those images, you think, oh, I'd love a bit of that. Would you though? Would you really want to do what he or she did to get there? Would you be able to do that when you had a choice to do something else? The easy choice is never the right choice, usually, in those situations. And I recognize that now when I watch the guys and still do it. I sometimes, because I'm there at the events, I think, oh, God, maybe I shouldn't have stopped. But I think, hang on a minute, that's not doing justice to just how good they are and just how hard it was when I didn't have what I used to have to be able to compete at that level anymore. It's they're at the very best of the best for a reason. The reason they're on the TV screens every week and the reason they make the money that they make, the very top athletes, is because it's really, really hard to get there. Mm. And 99.9% of people don't. And in our sport, 99% of people end up in the pro shop. Or one of my best mates, Bill, I used to joke with him. I used to say he's a Mars bar salesman. He's not, but that was the old joke, you know, with people who you'd have give him a bit of needle over the fact that, you know, you didn't make it as a player, so you end up selling Mars bars. Of course, they don't. There's much more to it. They're business people. They teach. They do all sorts of wonderful things and grow the game. But usually, nearly all of those people had aspirations of being tour players because they didn't wake up and think, God, I really want to be the head pro at this golf club. They woke up thinking, I want to beat him, I want to hold a putt to win the Open, or I want to, you know, win on this tour, or be that guy, or live in this house. And to live in this house, I'll need to be able to play at this level. And whatever it was, the motivation, it was usually to play at the highest level. And very few make it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.